Litman Crooks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Litman Crooks podcast series. Our guest today is Leslie Josel, and Leslie is a repeat offender. She's been on the show at least one time before and perhaps again in the future, and she's the founder of an entity called Order Out of Chaos. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It is terrific. You really did fantastic on the first go-around, and my recollection is while we were talking about organizational issues, you had mentioned that you had another expertise as it relates to senior downsizing. And I've got to tell you, when we moved out of our house after I was done growing up, or some would argue I'm still in that process, but I remember going into our attic and what a difficult time my parents had getting rid of stuff. And like everyone, I said to myself, boy, I hope I don't end up like that. And is this a common thing where people have a difficult time getting rid of stuff?
Yeah. I don't even, you know, we're going to talk about it in terms of seniors today, but it's really not only for seniors. I mean, we know that, we know that those types of behaviors start as early as young childhood. But what we really know, and I think we all know this, that it's not the stuff per se, it's what we call the stuff behind the stuff, meaning it's that attachment, that sentimental feeling that we might need it someday. That's really what's going on there. It's not necessarily what the item is, but what the item represents.
So I guess it's really an issue with seniors, because as people get older, they may want to sell the house and move into a condo, or they may have to go into a nursing home or assisted living. There's just no room to put the stuff.
Right. And that's a big thing. What happens is, you know, when we look at our belongings and we live in houses with basements or attics or garages, well, there's really no reason to get rid of things. If your spaces are still being used for what their intention is, meaning a basement or an attic or a garage really is for storage purposes, then you really can't have a good argument of why someone should get rid of their things. But once we start to downsize and once we start moving out of, let's say, four-bedroom homes into two-bedroom condos, then our senior population is really, or as you said, a nursing home or assisted living facility, our senior population is really faced with that very difficult journey of parting with their belongings that they might have had for 40, 50, even 60 years.
So that's pretty interesting. So what I heard you say is that it's not common, or you wouldn't recommend that in order to avoid the senior downsizing problem when you're 70, 80, or whatever age you are when you decide to do this, you don't suggest that every 5 or 10 years in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, you get rid of a bunch of stuff to make the job easier later down the road.
I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. I 100% feel that way. I think that you should always be editing. That's the word we use. It's a good word. Editing in your life, because we don't, what we find is there's a few things that go on here. I don't know if people realize this all the time, is you're very lucky if you are a senior and have ample time to go through the process of downsizing your home, meaning you're making that forward decision to say, I don't really need to be in this home anymore. I would like to downsize. We were going to move somewhere. And you have that luxury. But unfortunately, not every senior does. Sometimes a senior is faced with the abrupt decision of needing to move. So now they're faced with years and years and years of belongings that decisions need to be made on in such quick, you know what I mean, in quick succession, that really brings up a lot of the anxiety. I mean, we know, and I know you and I have talked about this, that over 60% of individuals between the ages of 70 and 79 have done nothing to give away any of their belongings.
Who wants them?
So that's a huge statistic. That this group of population is just, you know, holding on to things until, unfortunately, they're faced with having to deal with it.
But who would they give them to? The kids? And then they just perpetuate the problem, and the kids have the same issue when it's their kids?
Okay. I don't know if it's that black and white. I think we know that every family is different. And it's not necessarily just to going to kids. There's many things to do with your belongings. Unfortunately, some belongings are not, you know, have no value, and nobody wants them, and those need to be disposed of. But I'm a repurposed girl. So plenty of donation places, consignment, certain things are saleable, friends, family. It does not necessarily just have to be turning it over to your family. But I do feel, and this is my opinion, that if you are holding on to things in your home that truly belong to your children, then it's really up to your children to make the decision on whether or not they want it. And if they don't, then it's unfortunately less up to you normally to have to get rid of it.
So it's an easier handoff to give it to the daughter than to throw it in the garbage.
Absolutely. But it's also the daughter's right to say, Mom or Dad, I really don't want it.
I'll bet you sometimes the daughter will say, sure, I'll take it. And then when Mom and Dad die, they just throw it out.
Absolutely. They do. You know, I one of the things that we really try to impart on our clients is that the things you own and the things you collect and the things that are meaningful to you, you have because of you and not necessarily because of your children. I always say, like, I collect mortar and pestles. I mean, I'm a young girl still, but I collect mortar and pestles. They speak to me for a lot of different reasons. My great-grandfather was a pharmacist, and it started from there. My kids have no interest. But I'm not collecting them with the hopes that my children will pass it on. I'm collecting it because it means something to me.
That's very interesting. Have you ever had somebody who you work with, who working with you, decided to throw something out, and then years later they said, boy, I wish I had that back?
Do you have 2 days?
It happens?
Yes, of course. I don't think that's relegated to just the senior population. I will tell you what we do. Here's a fun tip, because I like to always give a tip. So here's something that we do to ease that all or nothing process. Because when you're going through all your things, what starts to happen is you get that overwhelm of decision. I call it decision overwhelm or decision fatigue. Now what happens is after you've made so many decisions, your ability to make clear and rational ones start to decrease. So a lot of times what we'll do, particularly with the senior population, is we'll tell them you don't need to, but this is when we have the luxury of time. I'm going to say that. Time is key. We will actually move whatever things they are saying maybe about or that they're feeling very sentimental about, and we'll move it into another room, if we can, into the garage or the basement. And we'll leave it there for a while, and we'll ask them to consciously come back to us at the next appointment and let us know, did they go and visit it? Did they go and look at it again? How much up on their mind were those belongings? And if they really weren't, we'll then ease it out of the house. So it's not like a you need to get rid of it right this second process. It kind of slowly moves out of their thought process. And we find that that's a really helpful way to transition, particularly our seniors, out of their belongings.
You know, I have my high school yearbook somewhere in my house. I don't know that I've looked at it once in the last 30 years, but yeah, I wouldn't throw it out. So I'm thinking, does that make me a hoarder?
No. So if you come into my house, I have stuff. And here's my feeling. Your stuff needs to matter. It's okay to have stuff. It's even okay to have a lot of stuff, but your stuff needs to matter. Here's what makes somebody, and we don't use the word hoarder, we say someone with hoarding behavior.
Okay.
All right. So here's how you really, it's really three distinct, really, really distinct points. Number one, you must have a ton of acquisition going on at the same time where it's failure to discard. So it's not just, oh, I'm holding on to my yearbooks or my photos, and that makes me someone who hoards. It's really that inability to discard of anything and that increase of acquisitions. But here's the real telltale sign. Is your home clean, safe, and functional? Are the rooms in your home being used for what their intent was? Can you cook in your kitchen? Can you sleep in your bed? Can you use the bathroom for what it is intended? Can you walk up and down the steps, get through the hallways? All right, if those rooms are no longer being used or partially not being used, then you absolutely have hoarding behaviors. And then the last one really is that it's causing you major, major distress. Some people call it doorbell dread. We don't want someone showing up at our house for fear of what they'll see. Is it causing problems in your household? Is it compromising your work? Can you even get out the door on time? Real major distress. But the real thing to know about hoarding is that you cannot differentiate what is important and what is not, what is valuable and what is not. So someone who has real hoarding behaviors is going to look at a piece of paper with their shopping list from 20 years ago and think that that has the same value as, let's say, your child's birth certificate. And because they can't prioritize importance, everything is saved.
So there's clearly a difference between an adult who's just messy and someone who has hoarding behavior.
Absolutely. I mean, I walk into houses all the time, or I get a phone call, and the first thing someone will say to me is, oh my goodness, I'm a hoarder. And then I have my assessment, I've been trained, and I can go through it, and then at the very end I say, I have good news for you. You don't have hoarding. Look, we all have maybe a little bit. I mean, hoarding isn't a black and white thing. There's a continuum. There's levels. So, of course, we all have a little sentimental. I'm hoping people have some sentiments in them, or we all have that. I might need it someday. But what really differentiates someone from hoarding behaviors to just being disorganized is that they're really, those of us that are disorganized are consciously aware that we're disorganized, and we're trying really hard to come up with tools and systems and strategies to make it work for us. People that have hoarding behaviors sometimes don't even see the hoard around them.
So then who usually seeks out your help? The person who has the hoarding behaviors or a relative?
Okay. All different. There are individuals who have hoarding behaviors that will call us and say, I'm at my wit's end, or my back is up against the wall. I have to take care of this because, and you fill in the blank. Someone's going to leave them. Someone's going to take away their children. They're going to lose their house. They're being evicted. So sometimes what usually prompts the person with the hoarding behaviors to call us is a major dramatic push against the wall, so to speak. If that isn't happening, it's usually a friend. It's funny. Lately, it's been friends. God bless these people that have friends like that. We've been getting more and more phone calls lately from friends who want to help and want to get help for that person. But usually, it's family or a friend.
So how does somebody contact you? They call you? They go on the website? What do they do?
All the above. They, if you go on our website, the name of my company, I'm going to say it again, is Order Out of Chaos, but our website is Order OO Chaos. And there's actually a special section on the site just on hoarding, and actually there's a video which really explains what hoarding is, what we do, how the process works. And it's purposely there so that not only can the individual who might be calling to help can, but if there is someone that has the hoarding behavior, it'll help them maybe calm their fear and anxiety. Other than they can go on the site, they can call us, they can email us.
Now, we have a lot of clients, Leslie, that for a variety of reasons are moving back in with their parents, or the parents are moving back in with the baby boomer adult child. For economic reasons, they can't afford to be alone, for health and safety reasons, or just because they want to be together. And they've been separated for their entire adult lives. And isn't it possible that the children and the parents would have different views or styles with respect to how much stuff they keep? How do you handle that when they get back together again after so much time?
Well, let me tell you, that's a common problem, even if it's not just a parent and a child. I mean, we get that in marriages.
Right.
You know, you can have a marriage where one person, you know, is the, I don't even want to say the thrower-outer, then you have the other one who is the keeper-saver. So, you know, how do you do that? But with a parent and a child, it's a very different dynamic. I think you need to set up your boundaries. I mean, this is what we advise. You need to set up your rules and your boundaries before they even come into the house. I think you have to make it very clear what space in the home is going to be for that, you know, let's say for the senior coming in. So maybe they'll commandeer part of the basement or give them a section in the attic for their stuff. Because once they at least have an idea, this is what we find works. If somebody is moving and they don't know where they're moving to and they can't quantify the space, it's very difficult for them to let go of things because there's always that mindset of, well, I might have the room. Why am I going to get rid of it? I might be able to use it. But if as much information as they can have prior to, meaning literally, this is how much square footage you can have, or this is how much space, or shelving, or closet, or room, the easier it is then to take the emotionality out of it and say, where is it going to go? and then they can make the priority of this is the stuff I really need to keep with me, this is the stuff I might not need to have. And then I think on the child's end, they really need to allow the parent, as long as it's their private space, to keep the private space the way they want, as long as it's safe.
All right, Leslie, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I'd like to close with you offering a tip or two to that child, that friend, that family member who thinks they have a loved one who might be exhibiting hoarding behavior. What steps should they take? What should they do? They don't want to offend anyone. Help.
They can't offend. I would be very careful about what they say. I think you need to show... The thing is, if it's a friend and they're not living in the house, you don't really have, unfortunately, that much. There's really not much you can do. But the more empathy you can show them, the better. I would actually reach out for professional help and guidance. That would be really what I would get. Bring somebody in that can be trained, at least to talk to you and give you some education, so then you know how to speak to the person you're concerned about.
So the person who's observing the behavior would reach out for guidance without necessarily telling the one who is exhibiting the behavior.
You know what? There's no rule saying someone can't get help, but we would never do an intervention without anybody knowing we were coming. But I'm all about support. So there's nothing wrong with somebody who wants to help reaching out to get guidance and support without telling the person that they're calling about. Because that's all they're doing. They're just getting guidance.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Leslie Josel from Order Out of Chaos. Check it out. Thanks again for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
It's been great. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Lip Man Crush.